Welcome to another Studies on the Parables. The Parables of the Bible. Marilyn, you remember what parables mean? Parables. Parables, the name parable.
Metaphor.
Parable, yeah, there's parables, metaphors, allegories, similes, hyperboles, all of these. But a parable means to throw beside, to throw something spiritual beside something physical so you can understand it. And that's what Joel's going to do in his book. We're going to call it the Parable of Joel. But we're not going to start in the book of Joel. We're going to start in the New Testament. Joel is quoted many places in the New Testament because he's quoted in the second chapter of the book of Acts by the Apostle Peter. And he's also quoted in several other places in the Bible by Paul and by John the Revelator. In verse 14, we have Peter's sermon here. But Peter taking his stand with the 11 who? The 11 apostles. Raised his voice and declared to them. Now, there were many sermons. There was 120 preachers going on here at this period of time, right here in Acts, the second chapter there on the day of Pentecost. And the Pentecost means the 50th day. That means the 50th day. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised up his voice and declared to them, Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give heed to my words. Now this is the only of the 120 sermons at least that were recorded. This is the only one, or that were spoken. This is the only one that was recorded. Marilyn, could you get me some water? For these men are not drunk as you supposed. For it is only the third hour. In other words, it's 9 a.m. in the morning. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And that's what happened here on the day of Pentecost. It was a one-time event, by the way, at this period of time. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my bondslaves, both men and women. I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And we know that this continued to happen for quite a while. It happened here on the day of Pentecost, but we find out that these churches that were empowered by the Word of God were sent out. And I will grant wonders in the sky above. Now, this isn't yet happened. This hasn't quite happened. And the signs on the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor, and smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless heathens, outlaw men, and put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue was exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow the Holy One, thy Holy One, to undergo. Actually, it says here in the Hebrew Bible, the man of loving kindness, to undergo decay. You have made known to me the way of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried in his tomb is with us today. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon the throne, and he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. And Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Now let's go back to the book of Joel. That's in the Old Testament. Joel, there are some various opinions as to when he preached, from 800 B.C. to 750 B.C. or 835 to 796 B.C. Joel means Jehovah is God, and the author of these prophecies was this man identified here. No other Joel, there were many other Joels in the Bible, but only this Joel was a son of Pethuel. Pethuel means God delivers. Therefore, we know nothing beyond of Joel beyond this writing. It is almost impossible to cite a date for its origin. Like I said, 800 to 750, 835 to 796, and there are a lot of other opinions. The prophecy of Joel is clearly divided into two parts. Chapter 1:1 through 2:17, Joel uses the description of a plague of locusts and a drought to call the people a parable, a simile, a metaphor, an allegory, to call the people to repentance with fear, fasting, and prayer. 2:18 through 3:21, God's mercy drives out the locusts and gives plentiful harvest, bringing blessings to his people and punishment to their enemies. The day of the Lord, which is coming, is a major theme in Joel. On the day of Pentecost, Peter quoted Joel 2:28-32. But the outpouring of the Spirit started that it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Now let's start. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, old elders, and listen, all inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or in your father's days? Tell your sons about it, and let your sons tell their sons and their sons the next generation. What the gnawing locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the gnawing locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. In other words, the land is completely bare. And what the swarming locust has left, the creeping locust has eaten. And what the creeping locust has left, the stripping locust has eaten. Awake, drunkards, and weep. And wail, all you wine drinkers, you winos, on account of the sweet wine that is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has invaded my land, mighty and without number. Its teeth are like the teeth of a lion, and its fangs. See all these parables and all these similes and allegories and metaphors, hyperboles. And it is the fangs of a lioness. It has made my vine a waste and my fig tree splinters. It has stripped them bare and cast them away. Their branches have become white. Wail like the virgin girded with sackcloth for a bridegroom of her youth. And the grain offering and the libation are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn and the ministers of the Lord. The field is ruined. The land mourns. The grain is ruined. The new wine dries up. Fresh oil falls or fails. Be ashamed, O farmers. Wail, O vine dressers. For the wheat and the barley, because of the harvest of the field, is destroyed. The vine dries up, the fig tree fails. The pomegranate, the palm also, and the apple tree. All the trees of the field dry up. Indeed, rejoicing dries up from the sons of men. Gird yourselves with sackcloth and lament, O priests. Wail, O ministers of the altar. The priests needed to pray. They needed to repent and come to God. They were failing the people, and as they had failed God. Come and spend the night in sackcloth, O ministers of God, for the grain offering and the libation are withheld from the house of your God. Now he talks about starvation and drought from verses 14 onward. Consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land and the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Repent and call upon him to save you. Alas for the day of the Lord is near. And we're still looking for that day of the Lord, aren't we? The day of the Lord is that great day of judgment there. The great day of judgment. Right over here is the great day of judgment. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not the rapture. The day of the Lord is not the tribulation period. It's at the end of the tribulation, the day of the Lord. The seeds shrivel up under the clouds. The storehouses are desolate. The barns are torn down, for the grain is dried up. How the beasts groan, and the herds of cattle wander aimlessly because there is no pasture for them. Even the flocks of sheep suffer. And sheep, the shepherds take them out on all the hills, but there's no food any place for them. There is no food for anything. No food for the animals. The animals are suffering because of the sin of the people of God. To thee, O Lord, I cry, for fire devoured the pastures of the wilderness. We're talking about a lot of fires here. We're talking about fires back in those days, the fire of heat and pestilence. The flame has burned up all the trees of the field. Even the beasts of the field pant for you. But the water brooks are dried up. The fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Then he has a terrible visitation. Verse number 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion. The trumpet was a sound of alarm. A sound of alarm on my holy mountain, on my holy government. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near. The day of darkness and gloom, the day of clouds and thick darkness. If we go into Revelation, the book of Revelation, we see all of this taking place in the last days. And Joel's talking, jumping all the way over to there. As the dawn is spread over the mountains, so there is a great and mighty people. There has never been anything like it, nor will there be again for to the years of many generations. The fire consumes before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like a garden of Eden before them, but a desolate wilderness behind them. And nothing at all escapes them. Why? Because of the judgment of God, because of their sin. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like war horses, so they run. With a noise as of chariots, they leap upon the tops of the mountains. Like the cracking of a flame of fire consuming the stubble, like a mighty people arranged for battle, before them the people are in anguish, the faces turn pale. They're scared to death. They're white with fear and terror. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like soldiers, and they each march in line. And do they deviate from their paths? They do not crowd each other. They march everyone in his path. When they burst through the defenses, they do not break ranks. They rush on the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. Before them the earth quakes, and the heavens tremble, and the sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars lose their brightness, and the Lord utters his voice before his army. Surely his camp is very great, and for strong is he who carries out his word. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome, and fearful and terror. Who can endure it? Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments. Tear your heart out, not your garments. Don't do outward religious signs. Let God deal with your heart. Let God tear your heart asunder. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. The man of loving kindness, our Jesus. And relenting of evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? Even a grain offering and a libation. For the Lord your God, blow a trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather to the people. Sanctify the congregation. Sanctify. Make them holy, the congregation. Assemble the elders and gather the children and the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Let the priests and the Lord's ministers weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, Spare thy people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they among the people say, where is their God? Where is their God? Where is the God that was supposed to protect them? Now deliverance is promised. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land, and he will have pity on his people, and the Lord will answer and say to his people, Behold, I'm going to send you grain, new wine, and oil, and you'll be satisfied and full with them, and I will never again make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove the northern army from you, and I will drive it into a parched and desolate land, and its vanguard into the eastern sea, and its rear guard into the western sea. And its stench will rise, and its foul smell will come up. In other words, God is going to kill them. God is going to fight for you. For it has done these great things. Do not fear, O land. Rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, beasts of the field, even the wild animals. The creation itself groans for the redemption of the sons of God, it says. For the pastures of the wilderness have turned green, for the tree has borne its fruit. The fig tree and the vine have yielded in full. So rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God, for he has given to you the earthly rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you the rain, and early in the later rain before. These were what we call dry land farmers, not irrigation, dry land farmers. And they depended and prayed for God to give the former, the first rains, and the last rains, to finish the crop, to start the crop, and to finish it. And the threshing floors will be full of grain, and vats will overflow with new wine and oil. And I will make up to you for the years that swarming locust has eaten, creeping locusts, the stripping locusts, and the gnawing locusts, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall have plenty to eat and satisfy and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put to shame. And thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. And there is no other, and my people will never be put to shame. Now we have the promise of the Spirit. And it will come about after these days that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions, and even the male and the female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Now he talks about the day of the Lord again, and I will display wonders in the sky. And this is in the book of Revelation. And on the earth, and blood and fire and columns of smoke, and the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it will come about that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and Jerusalem there will be those who escape, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Now, the tribulation period is coming upon this earth. It's coming upon this earth to bring Israel back to God, and it's come upon this earth to judge the nations. And now, let's see what it says. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land, and they also cast lots from my people, and traded a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine, and they may drink. That they may drink. Moreover, what are you to me, O Tyre and Sidon, all the regions of Philistia? Are you rendering me a recompense? But if you do recompense, my swiftly and speedily I will return, and your recompense on your head. Since you have taken my silver and my gold and brought my precious treasures into your temples and sold the sons of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks in order that you remove them from their territory. Behold, I'm going to arouse them from the place where you have sold them and return your recompense on your head. Now God said, I'm going to call them. I'm going to whistle for my people and they're going to come home. We see that in the dispersion there in the church age, the dispersion of Israel and then the regathering of Israel. Also, I will sell your sons and your daughters in the hand of the sons of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabaeans and a distant nation, for the Lord has spoken. Three and nine. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare a war and rouse the mighty men. Let all the soldiers draw near and let them come up. Beat their plowshares into swords and their pruning hooks into spears, and let the weak say, I am mighty man. I am a mighty man. And hasten and come, all you surrounding nations, and gather yourselves there. Bring down, O Lord, thy mighty ones. Let the nations be aroused and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For I will there set to judge all the surrounding nations and put a sickle in, for the harvest is ripe, and come and tread the winepress. Right back to Revelation, the 19th chapter, isn't it? Come and tread the winepress is full, the vats overflow, and their wickedness is great, and multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon shall grow dark, and the sun shall lose their brightness. And the Lord roars from Zion, and utters his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth tremble, and the Lord is refuge for his people, and a stronghold for the sons of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. So Jerusalem will be holy, and strangers will pass through it no more. Verse number 18, and it will come about in that day that mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah will flow with water. And a spring will go out from the house of the Lord to the valley of Shittim. Egypt will become a wasteland, and Edom will become a desolate wilderness, because the violence is done to the sons of Judah, in whose land they have shed innocent blood. But Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem for all the generations. And I will avenge their blood, which I have avenged, for the Lord dwells in Zion. Now let's go to Revelation, the 19th chapter. Revelation, chapter 19. Verse number 7. Well, let's go down to the verse number 11. Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven opened, and a great white horse. He who sat upon it called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he that judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. And he has a name written upon him that no one knows except himself. That's the name Jehovah, of course. He who shall become. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, and clothed in white linen and white clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes out a sharp sword, so that with it he may slay the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads out the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, El Shaddai. Isn't that what we just read in Joel? And Joel means what? Jehovah is God. And on his robe and his thigh written, King of Kings, Adonai Ha-Adonaim, in Hebrew, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds in the mid-heaven, come and assemble for the great supper of God, in order that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commoners, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and those who sat upon them, and the fleshes of all men, both free and slaves, and small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war with him who sat on the horse against his army. And the beast was seized with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived. Now this is the day of the Lord we're talking about here now. Performed the signs in his presence and by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and whose worshipped his image. And these were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns for brimstone forever. And the rest were killed with a sword, which came up from the mouth of him and sat in the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. This is what's going to happen. We're looking for that time now. We're looking for the rapture first. Over here in this period of time right here. There's the end of the church age. We're right in the church age, probably toward the end of the church age right now. We see Israel regathered back in the land of promise, the Davidic and the Abrahamic covenant. And we see that nations are already going against Jerusalem, aren't they? We have the unrepentant Jews still there today saying, this is our land. God gave us this land. But they do not believe in the God of Israel. They do not believe in the King of Israel that they rejected. And they were scattered for, and now they're regathered to bring them back, not because of who they are, but because of the promise of Abraham and David, the Davidic and the Abrahamic promise. We know that the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist are going to come upon the earth. And this day of the Lord is going to take place at the end of that time. That's when the Lord takes it all into his hands and he whips them with the sword of his mouth. As he created the heavens and the earth, Jesus shall say, "You be dead. This be, and it will be so." We can see all of this. The beast and the false prophet. In the biblical, in the Bible here, it talks about the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. Islam talks about the Mahdi, Iman, the last Iman that will come out, that will be a descendant of his daughter, and that will be have his spirit reincarnated into him. And this man will be 40 years old when he begins to rule, and he could be alive today because we live in these end times now. And they will have a beast to accompany him that will mark all of those with the mark or the name or the pledge of Allah. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. There is no God but Allah, and he has no companion. There is no Jesus. There is no Son of God. They hate the name the Son of God. They hate that. And then the Jesus of Islam will come out, and he will kill all the Jews, and then he will kill all the Christians and bring the world under Islam, and there will be peace for Islam only. That's what they're looking forward to. We're looking for the Antichrist to come. We're looking for the false prophet to come. We're looking for the beast to come. We're seeing all of this. In juxtaposition, we have these two theories, the Bible and Islam. Everybody knows that the day of the Lord shall come as Joel promised, and it shall come. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that this message goes out. If there's one listening to this someplace in the world, that they will come to know you, that they will be safe from the wrath of God. Father, watch over each and every person out there as they listen to this message. Help it prepare them for the time to come. Help us to glorify you with our lives as each and every day approaches that could be our last day upon this earth. Forgive us where we fail you. And guide us. Help us to glorify you.